I want to talk to you for a few moments on the idea of what it is to be immersed, to be submerged, if you will, into Christ himself. I'll entitle the message, Take the Plunge, because I want anyone in this room who's not taken the plunge, who's not allowed themselves to be immersed into the character of Christ, I want you to at least have a reason to take this plunge, or at least to take the idea of the plunge into serious consideration. If you're not familiar with the Holy Scriptures, there's a time, I just want to preface by saying, there's a time when the Lord will sort of leave the 99 sheep and go for the one who's lost. And so that's what we do on Sunday nights for anybody who's here for the first time, or someone who's not familiar with our evangelistic services. Our goal is to do what we can to reach that one who has not yet known the way of the Lord and the embrace of the Lord and the great salvation, the freedom that comes from being a Christian. If you don't know the Scriptures, then I want to point out to you that there is a man in it named Paul. He was a man who was miraculously freed from a kind of bondage that was based upon trying to do the right thing in his own strength. He thought that if he knew what was right, that he could do what was right. But as he writes to some of his friends at a certain point, even though I knew what was right, I couldn't do what was right. I wanted to, I just couldn't do it. So this is a man who later understood what it meant to be freed from trying to do good things in his own strength. He was a man who had known what it meant to desire a change in life, but who just could not accomplish it. So when he realized that he didn't have to change in his own strength, he didn't have to make changes according to his own will or according to his own desire, that when he realized that there was a freedom that came from God, a freedom that was able to bring him to the places that he always wanted to go, to the kind of life that he always wanted to live, when he realized that, he went around the world, the known world in those days, telling as many people as would listen to him. And some people listened, some people didn't. Some of the people that he went to still believed that they could do the right thing in their own strength, and they didn't want to hear anybody tell them that they couldn't. Other people had come to the point where they were frustrated with trying to do the right thing in their own strength, and they wanted somebody to bring them some good news. Good news that said, you don't have to do this in your own strength. God has done something wonderful for you. Now, there was one group of people that he went to that was somewhere in between these two kinds of people. They had heard a man preach, another man, a man whose name was John. Now, this man named John would go about saying to people who had been trying to do the good things in their own strength, you can't do this. You need to turn away from the idea that you can do this in your own strength. He was actually baptizing them in water. Now, for them, that was strange because these were people who believed they could do the right thing in their own strength. So whenever anyone was baptized in their sight, it wasn't them. They were right. They were doing the best that they could. It was other people who didn't know anything about this, but who wanted to be like them. People who wanted to try to do the right thing in their own strength. They didn't think that they themselves needed to be cleansed, needed to be immersed, needed to be baptized. But this man, John, came and said, we're having a problem, he said. We are trying to do the things that only God can do in our own strength, and we really need to turn away from that. We really need to be washed from that. We need to turn, right? Sometimes it's translated, we need to repent. But literally, it just meant we need to turn. Turn from trying to do the right thing in our own strength. So John began to preach that to certain people. Certain people rejected it. Certain people believed it. Now, At a certain point, there was a pocket of people who believed it. They lived in a nice little community in Asia Minor, and they believed John. Now, John had, after a certain amount of time, he had been martyred. He had been put to death because of what he was preaching. But this pocket of people was still holding on to what John said. Paul, on the other hand, who had been one of those people trying to do things in his own strength, he heard another message, which was a message that came from Jesus himself. Now, what Jesus did was he took John's message and took it to another level. John said, we need to turn from trying to do things in our own strength. And Jesus said, I am the one who will do for you what you could never do. So Paul heard that. He heard Jesus say, I'm the one who can do for you what you could never do. So he went about preaching that to everybody, and he ran into this pocket of people who had heard John speak. And what they heard from John was, you can't do this in your own strength. But they kind of got that part of it, but they didn't know where to go from there. So Paul comes to them, and he says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit? In other words, have you received the life that I've received? Because I know, he said, I know that you've been moving in a direction that's different than the direction that other people have gone in, which is, I can do this in my own strength. I can make this happen if I just work hard enough, that kind of a thing. He said, I know you've moved past that, but have you received the Spirit? Have you received life? And they said, we haven't even so much as heard as there is a Spirit. In other words, what they were saying is, we haven't heard that we can be changed from the inside out. All we know is that we can't do the right thing in our own strength, and we're sort of in limbo. We're not quite sure what we're supposed to hold to now. We can't hold to our own strength anymore, and we don't know exactly what to cling to. And Paul said to them, have you received the Spirit? They said, we didn't, nobody told us. Nobody told us that there was a Holy Spirit. And then Paul said, then into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And then Paul said to them, John's baptism was a baptism unto repentance. In other words, John said to you to turn. But the problem with limiting the message to simply turn is that sometimes when we're told to turn, we're usually told, turn from trying to do this in your own strength to doing it in God's strength. But if we don't realize that that only happens by God helping us to turn, we begin to try to turn in our own strength. It's really a strange catch 22. We go from trying to do things in our own strength to trying to turn from doing things in our own strength in our own strength. You see what I mean? We come in and we say, from now on, I'm not going to trust in myself. And we kind of grit our teeth and clench our fists and say, from now on, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. And the bottom line is sometimes we tend to do it anyway, because the new life is not there yet. So even when we decide, you know what, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to try and hear a different kind of a message and understand a different kind of a thing and see life from a different kind of perspective, I'm frustrated with trying to do it myself, and maybe there's hope here. Maybe there's a way, a different way. There is one of two things that's going to happen. Either new life is going to come, or we're just going to take on another form of religion. We're just going to try and do it in our own strength, even if the thing that we're trying to do in our own strength is to avoid doing things in our own strength. That's how convoluted religion can be. But Paul said, you need to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. He said John had a baptism of repentance. But that baptism of repentance can lead to us trying to repent in our own strength. But Jesus has a baptism of renewal. That means he changes us. He doesn't just change our outlook. He changes us. He doesn't just change our sense of what's right and what's wrong. He changes us. He changes us from the inside out. And so he talks about this idea of being utterly immersed into who Christ is. That's what it means to be baptized into the name of Christ. Now, there is a man in the scriptures, another man, a man the Bible calls a thief. And what it meant was a man who was trying to take something that didn't rightfully belong to him. But it wasn't a kind of a petty criminal, the person who's a purse snatcher or somebody who's trying to snatch something from somebody's pocket. It was somebody who was considered a traitor to Rome and to Caesar. A man who was trying to rob Caesar of his authority. A man who was trying to rob Caesar of his power. And in those days, they crucified people who did that. Now, when Jesus was being crucified, there was a man, actually there were two men on either side of him who were being crucified as well, and they were all being accused of being thieves, of people who were trying to rob Caesar of his power, of his glory, of his authority. Now, the reason that these men were trying to do that was because they knew that God had made a promise of great change, where the people of God would go from a place of suffering to a place of victory. But they believed that they could bring the kingdom in on their own. They believed that they can do God's work for him. They wanted to see change. They were believing in change. They were hoping in change. But they got a little tired after a while because God wasn't moving at the rate that they expected. So they tried to make the change happen themselves. One of the men that were hanging on the cross beside Jesus then had to go from a place of trying to make change in his own strength to, for a few hours, being immersed into the life of Christ. For a few hours, he would be alongside Jesus on the cross, and for a few hours, he would be utterly immersed into who Christ is and what Christ does. He would hear Christ speak words from the cross. And he would see wonders in the heavens because of what Christ was doing and who Christ is. He would see miracles on the earth because of who Christ is and what Christ does. For a split second, if you will, or for a few hours of time, he would be immersed into the atmosphere and the ambiance of Jesus Christ. And he would have an opportunity to compare his capacity to change in his own strength with the glory of the Almighty God. Give you an idea of what Paul was saying when he says, it's not enough for you to be baptized into John's gospel. Not enough for you to be baptized. I wouldn't even say gospel, God, John's message. It's not enough for you to be baptized into the idea that you need to change. That's what John preached. You need to change. You need to turn. It's not enough for us to be immersed in the idea that we need to change. There's nobody in this room that doesn't realize that. Whether it's a person who's a Christian who is being brought from glory to glory, from image to image, from faith to faith, or somebody who's not yet a Christian, but who's sitting here because you know that things need to change, that you need to change, that things are not the way that they should be. Well, John's message preached that. Jesus' message preached, it's not enough for you to know you need the change, and it's certainly not enough for you to try and do it in your own strength, and it's certainly not enough for you to try to stop doing it in your own strength, in your own strength. You have to know that only God can do it. Only God can bring renewal. Hallelujah. So you see this man, this one thief that's on the side of Jesus, actually there were two that were being crucified with him, but only one came to the conclusion, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I think it's because for a moment, he was immersed into who Christ is. I'll give you an idea of what I mean by that. For a few moments in Christ's presence, he was immersed into, for instance, the love of Jesus. Remember, Paul talking about being baptized into the name of Jesus. And in the Bible, the name of God is his character. It's what he's like. He's now, so all of a sudden, for a few moments in his history, at the end of this man's life, he is being utterly immersed. He can't get away, you see? He's already nailed to the cross. He can't go anywhere. It's not like he could say, I don't want to hear this message. I'm leaving. He couldn't go anywhere. He was locked in. He was a captive audience. And he was utterly immersed for a few moments into the presence of Jesus Christ. And he got a visual of Christ's character. Begins with being immersed into the love of Jesus. For instance, Jesus is being whipped, beaten, his back bloodied, bruised, his beard being ripped from his face. He's being spat upon. He's being beaten. He's being slapped. He's being smitten. He's being hit by reeds. He's having a thorn of crowns pushed to his head. Do you understand the crown of thorns with thorns this long? To the point where he's barely alive because of all of the blood that's already flown. And yet he hears this Jesus cry from the cross. You understand? In order to even speak a word from the cross, because one of the things that the cross did was it kind of brought your weight down upon your own diaphragm, upon your own self. You would suffer and suffocate at the same time because of the weight of your own body. So every word took everything that you had. And he could hear Jesus saying, with regard to the people who put him in that place, "Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they do." Now think about it. This is a man who tried to do things in his own strength, tried to make things happen in his own strength, and all of a sudden he's in the presence of the only one that can help him, and not just in his presence, but he is immersed in his presence, submerged in his presence, because he's seeing Jesus as Jesus is just manifesting his glory in the extreme. This is the cross of Christ. So when Jesus lifts himself up, under the weight of the crucifix, under the weight of the cross, and cries out, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." This is an intense moment. This is an immersion into the love of God. He's seeing this beaten, broken, battered man taking his last breaths to forgive people who put him in that place. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And all of a sudden, he's immersed in this love. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesian community. It's not enough to be immersed in John's message. You need to be immersed in the name of Jesus. So he's immersed in his love. He's immersed in his light. You remember the Bible tells us that when Jesus was being crucified, all of a sudden there was a darkness that came over the earth. And something in this man must have registered that as long as this man is alive, there is light. And the closer he comes to being dead, the more darkness seems to come in this place. He was immersed into the idea that this man's life is equated with light. Light speaks of a capacity to understand what's going on in your world, to see beyond what you would ordinarily see in a context of darkness, to be immersed into the reality that the light that I'm looking for, the guidance that I'm looking for, the instruction that I'm looking for, the direction that I'm looking for, all is to be found in this man, to be utterly immersed in that reality. You understand, this was not a short lesson, you know, come back tomorrow, we'll tell you a little bit more. This was the cross. This was immersion, total immersion. You know how sometimes you have some classes in college or in high school or whatever, and they have total immersion, do you know what I mean? And you are locked into that class. You pretty much are there for hours and hours on end. That's what this was like. Total immersion in the school of Christ. And he's seeing that this man is love. And this man is light. And this man is life. Because when Jesus was laying down his life for humankind, the Bible says that there was a mighty earthquake. And the dead began to come out of their graves. This is a picture of a man who is life, the man who can take that which is dead and make it alive. Now think about a man who's frustrated with his own strength. Hallelujah. A man who's frustrated with his own power. A man who's tired of trying to make it happen, realizes, I cannot do this. I've tried to do the right thing, and I've tried to not try to do the right thing in my own strength, but I keep going back to trying in my own strength anyway. I keep going back to trying to make God a whole lot of promises anyway. I keep saying I'm not going to do it, and I'm doing it anyway. And all of a sudden, he looks, and he's immersed into the reality that if you are looking for life, this is the man. This is the one to seek out. Because even the dead begin to come out of their graves. And all of a sudden he realizes something. If I want to experience life, if I want to come out of this place of death or out of perpetual dying, then I need to look to this man. Remember what Paul said? It's not enough to be immersed into the idea of repentance. We must be born again. We must be immersed into the name, into the character, into the work, into the ministry of Jesus Christ. Immersion into his love, immersion into his light, immersion into his life, immersion into his loyalty, his faithfulness. At a certain point, the thief on the cross said to him, if you are the Christ, if you are who you say you are, then why don't you come down from the cross? Why don't you bring me down too? In other words, why are you here suffering alongside of me? Because the Bible says Jesus could have come down from the cross anytime he wanted to. He never had to go there. But he went there because he loved us. And he stayed there because he is faithful and true. He could have come down at any given time. Imagine being immersed into that situation. He's hurting just like me. Every tear I cry, he's crying. Every pain I feel, he's feeling. He doesn't have to identify with my pain. He doesn't have to feel my pain. He doesn't have to weep my tears. Why is he still here with me? I remember when I was running the streets and trying to figure out what my life was about and trying to figure out whether or not I could evade and avoid God and try to do the right thing in my own strength. I used to always say, God, why are you still here? Everybody else has left. I've given up on myself. Why are you still here? Why are you on this cross with me? Why are you weeping with me? Why are you suffering with me? Why would you identify with my pain? And that's what this man is saying. Why are you here with me on this cross? Crying every tear I cry. Dropping every drop of blood that I drop. Feeling every ounce of pain that I feel. But that's what it means to be immersed into the name of Jesus Christ. To be utterly immersed in the fact that he is love and he is light and he is life and he is loyal. To be utterly immersed into that reality. So that your faith is not based upon what you're going to do or what you're not going to do, but on what he's done. That's when you and I move from the simple baptism of repentance to the baptism of renewal. From knowing that things need to change to coming to that one who actually changes things. Immersion into his lordship. The man says to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You don't say that to people who are dying. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You don't say that to someone who's bloodied and battered and bruised. You don't say that to someone whose life is ebbing out of them unless you believe that they have a different kind of life. That they have a different kind of kingdom. A kingdom that transcends the borders and parameters of death itself. A kingdom that goes on way beyond this life, but that also pours into this life. See, somehow he was immersed into the fact that Jesus is Lord, that he is the King, that he is the Christ, that even if he chooses to identify with my suffering, he is still the King of glory. He is still the God of heaven and earth. He is still that one that makes it all happen. His throne transcends all realities. There is nothing outside of the purview of his sovereignty. Everything ultimately belongs to God. And everyone ultimately will answer to God. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, whether on the earth or in the heavens or under the earth, whether on this side of eternity or on that side of eternity, everyone will give an account to God. And he was immersed into that reality. Ultimately, it's about him, it's not about me. It's about what he's done, not about what I've done. It's about the promises that come from his mouth, not about the promises that come from mine. And that's where this man had to be. That's where John's message ended and where Christ's message began. That's why Paul was saying, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we haven't even heard. See, we're so focused on repenting that we didn't even realize that we could be made new. He said, then I invite you to be immersed into the character of Christ. Into the work of Christ, into the ministry of Christ, into the person of Christ. And if you do, then you will also ultimately be immersed into his legacy, into his love, into his light, into his life, into his loyalty, into his lordship, and ultimately into his legacy. Jesus was able to say to that man, today, you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. 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 There's somebody in this room came and said, bro, nobody has to tell me that I need to change. Nobody has to tell me that things around me need to change. Nobody has to tell me that there's something wrong with this world and there's something wrong with me. Nobody has to tell me that. I'm immersed in that. I'm immersed in this thing that says change, grow, develop. I'm immersed in that. He said, but there's something missing. I'll ask you the same question that Paul asked the believers, those who had heard John's message. Does the Spirit of God live in you? Have you been changed from the inside out? Can you say, I know that I'm a different person? Or are you still on that side that says, I got to do something. I can clench my fists and grip my teeth and stomp my foot and make something happen. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of the way I'm living. I got to do something. Are you still on that side? Or are you in a position to say, God is living in me. God is working in me. God is changing me. God is developing me. I'm going from image to image and from glory to glory and from faith to faith and from grace to grace. If you're tired of trying to make things happen in your own strength, or trying to not make things happen in your own strength, but even doing that in your own strength, if you're just tired and you're saying, I want to be filled with the presence of God, then I invite you to be immersed into who Christ is, into what Christ has done for you, into how much he loves you, into his life, into his loyalty. Oh, he's loyal. He's faithful. He's not going to let you go. He'll stand with you. And then ultimately to rejoice in his legacy. Everything that he died so that you could inherit. Now, he's the risen Christ. So not only did he die so that you can inherit life, but he's risen to protect that life so that nobody can rob it from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. If you can say, Brother Will, I know I need to grow. I know I need to change. But I can't do it in my own strength and I'm tired of trying. I want to be made new. I want to be immersed. I want to take the plunge. I want to be immersed. I want to be submerged in all of the goodness and all of the glory and all of the grace that is Christ Jesus. I want to live in him. I want him to live in me. I want to change, and I know I can't do it in my own strength. If you want to say to the Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Those things I don't want to change from, I'm sorry. And I'm also sorry for trying to change in my own strength. If you want to be a Christian, then I'm going to invite you to come to the front of this auditorium. You can begin to walk toward us now. There are people who are coming toward us. Just continue to come. I'm not going to go through a raise your hand, stand up, do this, that process. If you want to be a Christian, then I'm asking you to come to the front of this auditorium. Christianity is a strange kind of thing. We don't do anything in our own strength. But what we do strong. We take a stand. We make a difference from Jump Street. There are people that are coming here, continue to come, who are making a stand, not only in front of God's people, but what they're saying is, if there's anybody who's on the fence, look at me. I'm taking a stand right now. It's a strange thing. When you begin to come to the Lord the way you come to the Lord now, you're actually beginning to save lives as your life is being saved. Because you're giving people a witness. You're already testifying. You're already taking a stand. That's courage, brothers and sisters. That's courage. And you can't be a Christian without being courageous. There's no strength in us. There's nothing in us. But if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to be courageous. You're going to have, especially in this generation. So you see men and women coming to the front of this auditorium. You can come. I'm going to wait for you. No hurry. Top of the balcony if you need to be here. You don't have to come here to be a Christian. You don't have to come here to be saved. You understand? When I first committed my life to the Lord, I didn't have enough courage to come down. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm still a Christian. You don't have to come down. But if you want to come down and you want to take a stand, I, to this day, I wish I had done it that way. You want to come down and you want to take a stand for Christ already, then you keep coming. You keep on coming. You join the ones that are here, the ones that have chosen to take a stand for Jesus. True heroes in our generation. You come on down. You come on down. God is with you. If you're a little bit worried about coming down, just you got a friend who brought you here, just ask them if they wouldn't mind walking down with you. Remember what one of the testimonies was, you know, just squeeze somebody's hand, that kind of a thing. Well, you just, if you feel like just whispering in somebody's ear and say, hey, look, it's a little bit difficult for me, but if you'll come down with me, I will walk, brother and sister. This kind of life in this kind of world requires courage, supernatural courage. The whole message was we can't do anything in our own strength. But God will do something in you. God will do something in you. I am so proud of my brothers and sisters who are standing here. Because what they're saying is, I'm ready to take a stand for Jesus now. And what they're saying is, if there's anybody who's in this congregation who's not a Christian, but who's on the fence and trying to figure out what they want to do, what they're saying is, look at me. I'm taking a stand for Christ right now. Look at me. I'm willing to witness to the fact that Jesus is Lord. It's an awesome thing to see. I'll wait for you for a little while longer. Just keep on coming. Keep on coming. Our goal is never to fill up this altar. Our goal is to fill heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so that men and women might be filled. That's what the Lord does in our hearts. He fills us. Remember? The Bible says that when they allowed themselves to be immersed into Christ, that they were filled with the Spirit. All of a sudden, they began to say things that they never thought they would say and began to do things that they never thought that they would do. All of a sudden, they began from Jump Street to change the world. Right then, right there. It wasn't, well, you know, you got to go to this class, go to that class, go to the other class, and then you're going to make a difference. Right then, right there. And I'm telling you, right now, you're making a difference. Because you're choosing to take a stand for Jesus. You're choosing to stand in the presence of all of God's people and in the presence of anybody else who might happen to be here. But not only that, but in the invisible realm, in the heavenlies, you're taking a stand and you're saying, look, I'm not afraid to stand for Jesus. And I want all the holy angels to see it, and I couldn't care less if any demonic force sees it. I've made a decision. And I guarantee you, your God is faithful. Your Jesus will keep you. Your Jesus will hold on to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful, wonderful decision that you're making. And I just want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, these men and women have chosen to stand for you. To say in front of all of God's people, I believe in Jesus. To say in the presence of any arrogant spirit, I'm not going to follow your lead. I'm not trying to do this in my own strength anymore. To say in the presence of all the holy angels, this is why Jesus did what he did for me on Calvary. Because we imagine sometimes the holy angels looking and seeing Jesus hanging on that cross, knowing that he had all power and authority, and probably saying, why is he doing this? Now he can say, because of me. Because he so loved me that he laid his life down to save me. He knew I couldn't save myself. He knew I couldn't deliver myself. He knew I couldn't heal myself. He knew I couldn't free myself. He knew I couldn't do anything in my own strength. And he came to help me. And now I open my heart to be totally immersed in him, to live my life in him, to see the world through him. Jesus, give each one in this room, everyone, especially those who are here, a new perspective so that we can't see life without seeing it through your eyes. We can't reach out to the world without reaching out through your hands somehow or another. Your life defines ours. I pray for these who've come to the front. Let each one be filled with the Holy Spirit. If they begin to talk like they've never talked before, they begin to speak like they've never spoken before, they begin to see like they've never seen before, they begin to promote hope like they never could have before. They begin to pronounce the promises of God like they never could have before. And they begin to talk about the faithfulness of God like they never could have before. They begin to remind people that God is good like they never could have before. God, I pray that even now as they're testifying by standing here, that testimony just goes on and on and on and on. Bible says that they were filled with the Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues and they began to prophesy. Lord, let it be that we speak words that we never spoke before. Words sometimes that we've never even learned before. Lord, a hope that we could have never, never promoted before. Now we begin to speak life where there was death and hope where there was hopelessness and strength where there was weakness and courage where there was cowardice. Send these out as messengers of your goodness. Let them be vehicles of renewal, vehicles of revival. Let them go forth now, like Paul, and find that one who's trying to do things in their own strength and say, have you been immersed into who Jesus is? Have you been filled with the Spirit? Have you been born again? Have you been born from above? Have you been made new? I pray for my brothers and my sisters. A supernatural touch from heaven. So that they'll know that this thing that they've committed to is real. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.